The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My guest today is Arthur Geese, here to talk about his review of Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. My name is Justin McElroy, and you're listening to Polygon's Quality Control. Arthur, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
What a sweetheart of a little game this seems to be.
It is. It's a real refreshing change from the Murder Shootmans of fall of 2014.
The Murder Shootmans have been very good this year.
They have, actually.
The Shootmans have been good to us. But it's a refreshing change of pace. Look at that adorable little guy. He's like a baby. He's like a baby on a great adventure. He's too little. Get those coins. Where's it? Keep them. Well, guy pie. Okay, so I have actual hard questions about this adorable little guy.
Fire away.
He may be a woman. I'm not sure.
There is a toad and a toadette in the
perfect
game. Toadette is actually cooler than toad in the game.
She's got her own personality, I guess. Does. Her own flair, her vibe.
She definitely does.
Okay. My first question for you is about, I should explain where I'm coming from on this one. I have not played this game. I have not seen this game. I didn't play the levels in the game that they stole the idea from. Mario, was it one of the Marios?
It was. There were side missions in Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, no, man, I'm Critical Path. You know me. They call me Justin Critical Path McElroy. I just blow past side objectives.
Justin the Poop Sock McElroy, they call
that's
you.
That's me. That's me. Just grinding on through. Here is an actual quote, how you describe this game to me, the reader. If you played last year's Super Mario 3D World, you already understand Captain Toad's basic premise. Using Captain Toad or Toadette, you explore diorama-style stages, grabbing coins, crystals, and ultimately a gold star to complete the level. This is all very Mario, but the difference is in the details. You can't jump, and your walk is more like a waddle, even at full speed. Arthur, that sounds terrible. Not only does that sound terrible, it sounds like an iPhone game, like a bad iPhone game that I would probably not get.
So
it sounds abysmal, but you're clearly charmed by it. So what's getting lost in translation?
I think a lot of things sound terrible, and it just is entirely dependent on execution. And in this case, Nintendo is remarkably successful at execution. Go figure. The levels are designed around what you can do. Like, that's the point. It's not about, here are some tools and go screw around in this world and see what you can do. It's, you have very specific abilities, and we allow you to interact with the world in these very specific ways that we iterate on and expand upon over the course of the game. And it's not about running through a platforming level as quickly as you can, grabbing coins and stomping on enemies' heads. It's about very methodically working your way through and finding all the crystals and finding the gold star at the end or finding secrets. Like every level has a secret objective. And sometimes that's finding a hidden gold mushroom, and sometimes that's getting a certain amount of coins or only hitting switches a certain amount of time or something like that. So it's very much about how they use the tools at hand to make something that's really fun and doesn't feel overly punishing most of the time.
Most of the time. What are the exceptions?
Later on, there are levels that have you running from start to finish, and you're sort of driving Toad or Toadette, for lack of a better term, and honestly, his turn radius sucks. So, being that those paths are flecked on either side by lava that will kill you instantly if you run off the path, those were just sort of they were rage-inducing. I'll just put it that way. And that's not new for a Nintendo game. I think a lot of Nintendo games actually are really hard at times. Like, Mario can be really difficult at times. And that was one of the times where it didn't feel just hard. It felt unfair. But those are a very small exception to an otherwise very pleasingly escalating series of challenges.
You say, I'm sure I'm cranky, a unique cranky individual, but there wasn't a single time where blowing in the Wii U's gamepad mic felt like a good idea. I'm with you on that. When you have to blow into a controller, are those the moments where you just have to kind of set it down and say, what am I doing with my life?
It's so stupid.
What did I do? Where did I go wrong?
Also,
written about books.
No matter what you're doing, it makes you look away from the game. Like, if you're playing on your TV, just using the gamepad as a controller, which you can only do sometimes because it requires the gamepad sometimes, you have to look away to blow into your controller. And if you're looking at the gamepad screen, you have to stop looking at the gamepad screen long enough to sort of position your mouth to blow into the mic on the gamepad. And it's never not stupid. It's stupid.
I'm not a fan of blowing into things. I would humbly request I never have to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I could. Aesthetically, you compliment the aesthetics of the game. Aesthetically, though, to me, an outsider who's just looked at, like, you know, screenshots and a few videos, it looks very much just sort of like another Nintendo game. Now, that's different enough from a lot of the stuff in the marketplace that maybe that's enough. But does it sort of set its aesthetic aside enough from, you know, the typical Mario aesthetics?
I think that they are really good at establishing a visual language. Early on, it's a very specific kind of green grass, brown sort of dirt kind of aesthetic that Mario games are known for, but it branches out from there. Like, it creates new kinds of environments, it finds new places to go, and they are all just really cohesive. Like, they all fit together, they all fit within this world, and within the understanding that it really effortlessly puts out there, it becomes fun to see the next thing that they're going to do. It animates well. Everything looks great. Nothing is clipping through anything else. There's a level of polish and care present that a lot of big AAA games don't manage. Like, there's no guns floating in the middle of the air equivalent in Captain Toad. Everything is just very deliberate and obvious and great.
We have some questions from readers about this game. Tim asks, Nintendo recently announced games that Amiibos will be compatible with, and Captain Toad is one of them. Based on what's available in the game currently, is there any way to tell how Amiibos will eventually be integrated into Captain Toad? I'd feel safer buying the game if I knew what sort of DLC to expect.
I have no idea how Amiibos will fit in, but there is an enormous amount of content in the game, including once you finish the game, you unlock a significant portion of additional content that I don't want to spoil because I don't think it's so much out on the internet right now. But for fans of Mario in particular and this game, it will seem like almost a whole other game of stuff. In addition to, like, I think around 70 levels in the main game itself.
Wow. We will come back to the question of value, but first, a thoughtful question from JD. He asks, is it problematic that the game centers on around one explorer entering already inhabited territories against the will of the inhabitants and removing their natural resources by stealth? Is it possible that the shy guys in their hoodies and masks that Toad repeatedly kills throughout the game are not authoritarian guards, but are protesters seeking to prevent the actual representative from the Imperial Authority from attempting to steal their natural resources? Also,
so this is a reading of Mario as symbol of colonialism.
JD also asks, how much better is Nintendo at innovating platformers than the rest of the industry combined?
Well, that one's easy to answer because no one else is really making platformers except for, I guess, Sony is publishing Little Big Planet games. But those games have never had the platforming or game design finesse that the Mario games have. Like, they are much more about whimsical user-generated content possibilities than anything else. I think you could definitely read Mario games as this horrific Italian person annihilating a culture. But I think they're supposed to be invaders in the Mushroom Kingdom, aren't they?
I don't know. It's, you know, Plymouth Rock didn't land on them, et cetera, et cetera. A question from... Okay, so the question that a lot of people seem to be coming back to, and we get different permutations on the same question, but I'll read them anyway for just for a dramatic effect. Jerry says, did the speed of Toad slash Toadette affect the gameplay... affect the play time in a noticeable way? What I mean is, if Toad had a normal walking speed, would the game have gone by too fast or anything like that?
No.
Jim asks, how long does it take to beat? What if you were to spend time to 100% it? I've heard it's only a few hours. Is 3 to 4 hours really worth $40? And that comes to my question. This is obviously sort of a spinoff, and it's sort of a weird one. Do you think it needed to be a disc release, or would this have been just as well served to be a you know, sort of a weird downloadable offshoot?
I mean, I talk about that a little bit in my review, that I think anybody else would have published this solely as this sort of goofy downloadable thing, whereas Nintendo committed to the retail release, which is typically Nintendo's way of saying we care about this game. I don't know how you would have to rush through this game to finish in 3 or 4 hours. Like, it would be an enormous detriment, I think, to your enjoyment of the game to attempt to complete it as quickly as possible, to the point where even I, on a timetable, didn't try to finish it as quickly as I could. Like, I tried to find as many crystals as I could. I tried to do as many side objectives as I could, because I enjoyed them and because that's very key to the experience of the game. So people saying that the game is short doesn't click with me. That game is not in any way short and has an enormous amount of additional content.
It's weird though, right? I mean, like, I think anytime a large it's a weird question whenever, like, a large section, as you've alluded to, is sort of cordoned off from the main experience. It's like, do you still count that? Should it be sort of, if it's as sort of interesting like you're sort of hinting it is, why not incorporate it into the, you know, into the main game
canon, Justin?
Canon. As the Zelda series has taught us, Nintendo is obsessively devoted to a consistent timelines and logistics. All right, that's fine. I'm not going to get a straight answer out of you. That's all right, Arthur.
No, that is literally the answer.
There's a canon. There is canon. Maybe that's it. There's a canon.
There are canons, but it's canonical. Okay. Also, it's like a Mario game in that you unlock new levels as you play through the game. So,
okay. Excellent. Arthur, thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to you for listening to our program. I've kind of let the ball drop on some of these recent releases, but I'm slowly crawling my way out of this ditch that I've found my beaten corpse in.
Finally ran out of turkey.
I finally out of turkey. No more sweet potato stuff, dressing to enjoy. I'm back and making new episodes. So thank you for listening. If you could go subscribe and rate on iTunes, that would just be super. And until the next time we have a game to talk about, for Arthur Geese, I'm Justin McElroy. Thank you so much for listening to Polygon's Quality Control.